Hey everybody, we're back after 2 months. Do you remember in March of 2021? We're gonna keep doing this podcast until the pandemic's over. And it's not over. I have fucking COVID, but we stopped doing the podcast.
You sound much better. You sounded worse a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I know I sound better. Yeah, but I have COVID right now. At least I think I still have it, but
I think I have COVID too.
do you
My,
think?
I have really smelly, watery diarrhea.
That's not COVID.
Oh, are you sure? It's really smelly and it's really watery.
That's not what COVID. That's
Okay
okay.
then. I guess
Guys,
I'm gonna go.
we haven't covered Raw in months.
Have you
And
watched Raw?
no, I watched it in California waiting for my Uber. I watched it, and it's much more tolerable at 5 o'clock. Like my day's over now, and I because I spent th this. It's like a quest when it's this is like a journey when it's on at 8 o'clock at night.
I
In a
don't.
bad way.
I think it's been a while since I've watched Raw, right? Like
Yeah.
months. And
This was horrible.
yeah, I think I feel the way about Raw the way you feel about AEW. Like
No,
I
I
can't
feel the same way
stand
on
this.
AEW and Raw. This was atrocious. I've been home with COVID. Last week, I was too sick to do this shit. But I figured so everyone in WWE has COVID right now. Like a ton of wrestlers. So I said, I always fall for this. Well, let's see what they're gonna do. And whenever now they're up against the wall like this, where like they're all their plans are out the window, they just don't do anything. They don't even try to make it a good show.
Who, besides Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, and Bianca Belair, who else had COVID? Because everybody else was on the show.
Liv, Bobby Lashley, Biggie.
Oh, Bobby Lashley. Big E wasn't there yet as well. That's right. They just said that.
That's like all the
Oh,
top stars,
yeah.
like
Okay,
Dew
cool.
Drop, Zelina Vega, Carmella.
Carmella was there.
No, she wasn't.
She did that interview
Was it on a
with,
phone or was it backstage?
no, backstage.
Okay, Zelina Vega wasn't there though.
Zelina Vega was not there. What's her name wasn't there? Rhea
Rhea?
Ripley.
Yeah,
Rhea
she wasn't
Ripley.
there.
Yeah, she wasn't there.
I mean, they brought people to me. Finn Balor wasn't there. He was at the house show. Dew
Finn
Drop
Balor's on
hasn't.
Raw? Oh,
What?
yeah, he's on Raw. That's right.
Dew Drop wasn't there last night. She wasn't on tonight. I
Austin
mean,
Theory, Vince McMahon.
well, they're not gonna tell us if Vince McMahon gets
But
it.
isn't Vince McMahon like, isn't he like on Raw now a lot? Because that's why, I mean, I read that he's always on Raw now.
Yeah, but he was. They didn't really need him tonight. I have a theory because so a lot of backstage people got COVID. When I saw Eric Bischoff, because Eric Bischoff, I know you don't like him, but he basically lives in solitude in the mountains. I have a feeling they called him in to like not only do that segment but to help run the show, because everybody was all of a sudden he just shows up out of nowhere.
Or they called him to get help get him COVID or something.
We just want you to get COVID too, Eric Bischoff.
That leech on wrestling is
But
still
when he, because
around.
they never use him for anything, and all
No.
of a sudden he was here tonight. They're like, they just didn't. I'm almost positive because everybody was sick. They're like, we'll just have Eric Bischoff on the show.
Probably, yeah.
They flew him in tonight.
Probably, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about it. This was a fucking, but
Yeah.
this Raw, man, Raw is a bit. But see, like I've watched SmackDown. I think we've covered some SmackDowns. SmackDown is just not as bad as Raw.
It's not as
And
bad as Raw. It's
I don't
not.
understand how it's really okay. Let's start.
There are some bad SmackDowns,
But they're
but
not like
it's not as
this.
bad as Raw. It's not
They're
as bad.
not
Even
like this.
NXT is not as bad as Raw. But Raw is from Detroit tonight. This is the last Raw of 2021. I know some people were posting pictures of like house shows that are like half empty, but this shit wasn't it because it was like full of people. It
Well,
was,
it's
they
also
showed
how they film it.
Vegas. They did
Remember,
the
like
whole
when they
turnaround.
never show you, they only show you three sides of the arena.
I
On
feel like in the beginning they showed all sides of the arena, did they
oh, maybe
not?
I don't know,
It looked
but
really packed tonight.
yeah, I don't blame people were trying to shit on WWE for Raw the house show last night being empty. I don't look, it's bad out there right now. People are like, well, the Knicks game was full, and I'm like, well, the Knicks are more popular than wrestling, but like, you have a
Real
kid, and
sports
also
don't.
like. I don't know. Do you really want your kid getting COVID to watch Dew Drop fight fucking Zelina Vega? Like,
I mean, it's also because the show sucks too.
yeah.
But anyway, we're in Detroit, and it starts off with RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Matt Riddle, who are tag team champions. And Matt Riddle's really, really dumb. I think he's like Eugene levels dumb.
Right,
like,
now, yes.
He doesn't know what the production truck is. He doesn't know that you can show video of what happened the previous week. It's like all sorts of levels of dumb. Like, ridiculous.
For him to be this dumb, he would have to like sit in a broom closet. Every time he went to TV, he had to sit in a broom closet. Yeah. And only come out for his match and go back to the broom closet.
Like, he's like an old boxer level dumb. You know, like, it's really,
dude,
it's really stupid.
I said this a year ago, but I do think Vince personally writes out everything this guy says, and he just says it without even questioning it.
I think that's possible. Yeah. I think that's possible.
I think it's
believable.
Yeah, I think he just, like, if they have him go out there and go wibbly wobbly for 20 minutes, he'll go out there and say it. So you want me to say this for 20 minutes? They're like, okay. Wibbly wobbly, wibbly wobbly. All right, I'm going to give them my DS community t-shirt.
Jeez, yeah, it's just crazy. I totally picture Junior writing this shit. Alpha Academy comes out because they're doing this whole thing where last week Randy Orton could not, for the life of him, give an RKO to Otis. Otis is all serious and everything here. And then Chad Gable's, he's like, he got his master's degree. So his whole thing is that he's smarter than everybody. And people are booing in Detroit. They're booing education, as Chad Gable likes to point out. And then Matt Riddle goes, I don't have a master's degree, but I have a higher education. And he meant the like higher education, like get it high.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, this shit went over a lot of people's heads in Detroit because they started booing him because they don't understand it. I was like, geez, these proved Chad Gable right. And then Matt Riddle basically challenged him to a fight, and he says the three most dangerous letters, RK, bro. And you can hear Chad Gable go, bro's not a letter. That shit was kind of funny. It was our first match, Matt Riddle versus Chad Gable. Before I go to the match, what did you think about this promo? I'll let you.
I hate it. I hate it every second.
It was bad. It was bad.
I just hate how Otis could have been.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. You don't like this serious Otis?
I hate it. I fucking hate it. Otis could have been like their R-Truth. He could have been like Scotty Tuhati, Rikishi, like for the kids. And he's just fucking horrible.
Yeah, he's more serious now. Yeah, he doesn't.
His match was good. But yeah, I hated everything about this promo. Just the minute I was about to call, you'd be like, maybe this was a bad idea.
Yeah,
Maybe I should just go do something else in my life.
You know, like they do this thing where they bring out RK Bro and they got like a little fucking, I thought it was a fucking cartoon worm on a scooter. I was like, why do they have a cartoon worm? It's a snake. He's a viper. And Matt Riddle's giving this stupid promo where he goes, Randy, I was green and I started getting scaled. And then Randy Orton's like, you better go see a doctor. And I was like, you know what? This show is actually made for kids. This is for a kid's show. If you watch this whole show, if you think about it, this is for kids. It's not for us.
It's always been for kids. And that's what these fans don't understand. Yeah.
I feel like I'm like sitting here reviewing like an episode of like Loud House or fucking like
because Loud House is better writing. I can tell you.
You know what? Loud House does have really good writing.
I can just tell by watching half a second of it in commercials that it's probably better writing this shit.
Yeah.
This shit is like written for mentally ill children. This isn't written for like normal children.
You know what their thing was? They're showing a lot of people in the audience, and there was a shitload of kids. There's like a shitload.
Kids love WWE. They do.
They do.
And AEW now. WWE. Yeah.
So Matt Riddle versus Chad Gable is the first match. Not a bad match, but basically Matt Riddle hits a high knee, and then he hits the floating bro for the clean victory. Not a bad match.
It was very short.
Very short, yeah. This is very short.
They would have had to do, I guess, yeah.
I guess so. I guess, you know what it is? I didn't think this needed to be that short, but It was fine. It was fine for what it was. Chad Gable can go. Matt Riddle, I don't know why they made it short. But he's going to go to our second match. It's going to lead right into it.
Because they don't see anything in Chad Gable. That's why they made it short.
Yeah, they do not believe in Chad Gable. Even though this guy can fucking speak.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is believable and he's good in the ring. I guess because he's, yeah, it's because he's fucking
short.
Because
he's Shorty G. They see him as
Otis
a shorty.
Otis is just as short as Chad Gable is. Otis is pretty short too. He's just fat, mm-hmm. I guess, right? So he just looks bigger.
Yeah.
So Randy Orton versus Otis. Now remember, the storyline here is that Randy Orton cannot give this guy an RKO. He tried 3 times last week and he just couldn't give him. Guess what? The storyline's already over because
he did this it. Match,
Randy Orton gives him an RKO and then he fucking beats Otis clean. Afterwards, Matt Riddle's like, hey, Randy, I got a gift for you. That big surprise I was telling you about. And it's a hug. It's a fucking hug, dude. I was like, God, this is stupid. I thought this was really dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. They have just wasted Otis. They have just wasted. The way they wasted Enzo, they've wasted Otis. They never should have. They should have Heavy Machinery still be together. What a waste. And I'm not saying this guy could have been John Cena or anything, but he could have been over. It's just such a fucking waste.
Yeah, he's not anywhere. I'm a bigger fan of the previous Otis than this one, but I'm like, fuck, at least he's fucking on the show, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
He could be on main event, you know, but right now
he's... I mean, this but actually, the match with Orton did give him a lot, though. Orton made him look good.
Yeah, it just kind of looks stupid. It's kind of stupid how, like, just like a week ago, they're doing this storyline that he can't be RKO'd, and then they just do it now. It's like, all right, I guess
they just wanted 1 week. They just wanted to kill 30 minutes today, which is what they.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. They booked for a week, basically.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Patrick is in the back with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Patrick shows him a video from Big E about day one, how. This is Big E's story. It's his story. This is about his rise to the top. And then Kevin Owens starts screaming into the microphone. It's not his story. It's my story. And then that was it. I could care less about this promo.
It was bad. He tried hard, but it was like.
Yeah, he tried. You could see Kevin Owens trying, but it's like, you know, it's just like there's nothing behind it because there's no substance, but it's not even his fault. We get a Veer Mahan video package of he's coming to Raw. This is the stupidest thing, is he's already been on Raw for a few.
Yeah.
He's still coming, I guess. By the way, this guy, he can speak English. Veer can speak English. He's big. He can move. I like Veer. He looked good.
You know, so. I hope you know what Veer can do. He can eat because he'll be a catering after 3 weeks.
Probably. I don't know. He's a big dude. He is big though.
I don't see it.
Oh, see, they have good catering, so it's not the worst thing. Match number 3, it is Reggie and Dana Brooke. This is how much I didn't see Raw for a long time. When she first came out, I didn't know who that was. And then I was like, oh, they were like, oh, they didn't say it was Dana Brooke. And I was like, she looks different, or is that just me?
No, she does look different. So she lost weight. She lost muscle. She looks different. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. So it did look. Yeah, she looked totally different. I didn't recognize her. Reggie comes out in like a yellow and red outfit. And Corey Graves spends the whole time in this match making fun of him, looking like saying that he looks like a McDonald's employee. He did. He looked like a fucking hot dog vendor or something.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie and Dana Brooke versus R-Truth and Tamina. Reggie hits like some kind of, it almost looks like a reverse Code Red. Like a wheelbarrow fucking bomb cover for the win. Afterwards, Tamina tries to attack R-Truth, and then she tries to attack Reggie and Dana Brooke, but they beat the shit out of her as well. It was an intergender match. I mean, what did you think?
I don't understand how Dana Brooke keeps surviving when they fire. Like, they fired 80 people, and she made it. I just don't understand. I don't understand what she has. She must have, like, I don't understand how Nia Jax got fired before her. Like, I understand we don't like Nia Jax, but they put so much more investment in Nia Jax, and they got rid of her and not fucking Dana Brooke. I don't get how her and Reggie look so fucking stupid. This segment was terrible. What a waste of R-Truth, and what a waste of the 24/7 title. It was a terrible segment. It was a horrible match. It was bad. It was a really bad segment.
I actually like that the belt is on Dana Brooke because you don't get those fucking goons that come running out.
No, I know, but it wasn't funny. It just she's not.
What was supposed to be funny? That was supposed to be something funny in this match?
No, I'm saying like R-Truth is usually funny, and he didn't even talk. He like just like had this shitty match.
He was having a serious match.
Yeah,
and he sucked.
And it sucked. Like the whole thing was just sucked. And she's not over. I don't think she's ever gonna be over at this point. Like, but for some reason, she's got a job, and like other people, they're just throwing Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, everyone off the fucking show, but not her. It's just wild.
She probably doesn't cost as much as that.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Bray Wyatt had a very high price tag, probably.
Really dude, deserved, yeah.
Speaking of Bray Wyatt, where's Alexa Bliss?
I don't know where she is either.
Did she disappear?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
There she is. I think they want to get rid of the whole supernatural bullshit with her and have her going back to how she was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're like, just stay away. And then we'll bring you back as regular Alexa.
When was the last time she was around? Was it WrestleMania?
No, it was September. She fought Charlotte and lost at the September pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I think they don't want to bring up Bray Wyatt anymore.
They don't want to bring up that gimmick yet.
And they didn't want her just coming out like two nights later being like, I'm back to being a bitch. So, like, they fucking like just go away. Maybe she'll probably come back. I bet she goes back to the Rumble normal. And they never mention that character again.
That's right. She was still doing that character even after Bray was fired, right?
Yeah, but I think they want to move away from all that shit. That's my
thing. Were people chanting for Bray when she was out?
I think so. But I just because you can't really book her in regular matches if she doesn't sell.
Yeah, yeah. Because that gimmick, the whole point of that gimmick is you're fucking supernatural. You can't.
Yeah.
Dude, okay, where's Elias? He's still with the company, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he went either.
He's been gone even longer, I feel.
Well, they were going to repackage him as like a dark character, and then someone was like, no. And now they just don't know what to do with him.
I don't know why they... I mean, he was good the way he was. I don't know why they didn't like it. He got monster heat, you know? There was time... Remember that time, like, he got, like, a booed for, like, 6 minutes straight?
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. They lost faith in him once the pandemic hit and never came back.
Why?
Well, his whole gimmick does depend on audience, and then they weren't there, but it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, no. You know, yeah, Hulk Hogan's gimmick relied on the audience.
Yeah, imagine Hulk Hogan, like, but if the pandemic hit in 1989, his whole posing thing falls apart.
Yeah,
but that's not his fault that the pandemic.
But they would blame him. But they probably blame
him and Warrior because Warrior too needed a crowd.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
They would blame both of them.
But I agree with you. This third match, this intergender match, definitely was a waste of time.
Waste of fucking time.
The thing is, it wasn't even a long match either. It was like
no, but it was just it just match. It was like what am I watching? Why is this? Yeah. Like yeah. Two like the both women should not be on TV. Like, they're bad. Tamina's never going to get better.
Is Tamina still tagging with Natalya? No, they split them up.
I think they did. I'm sure they'll... I don't even think they know.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm trying to figure out what her... I thought they were going to do this whole romance angle with R-Truth and Tamina in this thing. Or it felt like it. But then she tried to attack him, and I was like, I guess not. I never know.
I don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, Megan Morant, she is in the back and she is interviewing Nikki ASH, which stands for Almost Superhero or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're still doing this. They got rid of Karrion Kross. They should just give her back her last name. She's still doing this superhero gimmick that's just fucking going nowhere. And they talked about Rhea Ripley and how last week she didn't want to help her, even though they're a tag team, she doesn't want to help Rhea Ripley. Well, is that what this was about, right?
Yeah, she wants Rhea Ripley to stay on her own, and so can she, but they do want to challenge the tag belts. Do you remember what she did at the end of the promo? Did you see what she did at the end of the promo?
No.
She went, pshow, ping, kapow.
I think so. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Dude, like, oh, this was another promo. Like, Vince wrote this himself. Vince wrote it. Because it's like, how do you still think superheroes and all that, like, act like that? If you saw like Spider-Man No Way Home or Shang-Chi or any of the like the worst Marvel thing have advanced, but you could tell like Vince, the last super movie, so was Superman 3 probably, and she's just going pshow, pshing, kapow, like it's a bat. I was like, dude, why? You could just tell she's the other person who just says whatever they give her. It was like, dude, that is so fucking bad. By the way, this was crazy. Defending Nikki A.S.H. in the summer.
Yes.
Completely over it now. Her life is over. She her career is over. This is hard.
I can't believe this used to be a champion. Like, she was a women's champion in this gimmick.
It's horrible. You know? It's horrible.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's terrible.
When she went ka-chow, I want to fucking like, how do you say this on national TV? every segment feels like to me, like, for like the last four years, it just feels like, what if Austin's 316 speech went horribly wrong? That's every segment for every wrestler. You know,
it would have been him going like, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so. Glass shatters like
no. He goes, what's that? That's the sound of cold because I'm Stone Cold.
Yeah,
like, dude, it's just like everything. Like, imagine if every legendary segment went horribly wrong. That's every interview. Like she just like when they go like, hey, they wanted me to do this and I said no. Every wrestler now just says yes to the horrible idea.
I guess they don't want to be fired, you know.
I know, but like, you could be like, hey, I can be a superhero. But I mean, Spider-Man didn't run around going ka-chow, ka-ping. I can imagine Vince writing No Way Home. And then you're gonna go ka-pow because you're a superhero, Spider-Man.
Anyway, that was what ends the first hour. I thought that was the worst hour of the show. The rest of the show gets better after this, I feel. Really? Not that much better, but better. started the second hour, starts our fourth match. It is the Mysterios versus the Street Profits. I guess they're not doing this thing anymore where they're trying to break them. The son's trying to fight the dad anymore. Did they fight or did they like never?
No, fall? they haven't fought yet.
Okay, because they were like in sync tonight. I have not seen Dominic wrestle in probably like half a year or something. And I feel like he's improved a little bit. Like, he's a little quicker. He doesn't do as much
stupid. He should have improved by now.
Yeah, he doesn't do stupid fucking crazy moves anymore that he's going to fuck up. Mm-hmm. He's still got the fucking skinniest arms. He's got smaller arms than, like, Dana Brooke. He needs to work.
Yeah.
He got no muscle mass at all. Anyway, this was a very good match, I thought. This was really fun. The Street Profits ultimately hit like an assisted blockbuster off the top on Dominic for the win. I thought this was a very good match. Montez Ford, this guy is a fucking top player. They should just fucking take him off the tags and make him a top guy. This guy's fantastic. So much charisma.
Nah, I don't know if they're ever going to do that. It was all right. I didn't love it as much as you did.
You didn't think this match was that good?
Oh. It was okay.
I thought this was the best match of the night.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking Raw standards. This is fucking great.
Yeah. It was probably the best match tonight on this show, yes.
Yes. Miz is in the back. He's getting... Oh, so Miz is going to renew his vows with Maurice tonight. So some guy got him a fucking red roses. And he goes, I want it white. And he's mad. And he goes, my special guest tonight is Eric Bischoff. He's coming. I'm like, all right. So AJ comes to the ring and he cuts a promo because they split up AJ and Omos. And AJ goes, another person who's not here tonight, Omos, that's right. Forgot he wasn't there. And he goes, Omos isn't here because of the character, he can't face me. And Grayson Waller from NXT is at ringside because AJ went to NXT last week
mm-hmm.
to confront Grayson. So then Waller gets into the ring. People are fucking booing this guy. He's got good heat. People are fucking hate this guy. You know what he is? He's got like the douchiness of like the Miz, which is good. You know, it's great. It's great. This guy lives. He fucking embraces his douchiness, which is good, really good. And they're getting into it. All of a sudden, Apollo Crews and Aziz come out, and so this is the weird part. Initially, Aziz challenged AJ Styles. So right before they went to commercial break, they made it seem like Commander Aziz and AJ was going to fight, which is not what we're going to get. We come back from commercial break, and it's fucking Megan interviewing fucking Carmella about the tag fucking belts and shit.
Oh, okay. That's where she was. Sorry.
Yeah. Stupid. So it's pointless. I could totally see why you would forget this fucking forgettable segment. And then we go to our fifth match, which is not AJ versus Aziz, but it's AJ versus Apollo Crews. This was also a good match, but it got a little kind of, dude, they fucking avoided disaster twice. You know that? Yeah. Where there was one time where like AJ almost fucking fell on his head, and then it was another time where I think they almost fucked up the Styles Clash. But anyway, AJ hits a Styles Clash for the victory. Afterwards, Aziz attacks AJ. No, Aziz is in the ring trying to help Apollo. He turns around and he gets hit with a phenomenal forearm, right? Which is AJ's finishing move. AJ starts posing, and then all of a sudden AJ turns and Aziz comes running at him again, and AJ hits him with a forearm again, and the guy goes down, and AJ kind of just looks at him like, why did this guy get back up and attack me? Which was very fucking weird. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What did you think about this match? What did you think about Grayson Waller and all that shit? Go through it. Do you like this AJ versus Waller thing?
What?
Do you like this AJ and Waller thing they're doing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because it makes NXT feel more like it's part of the universe. It doesn't feel like it's not, you know, because like a year, I feel like they would have Grayson come out. Who's that? We don't know who that is. It's literally like, who's that guy? It's weird. Yeah. But like, they clearly believe in him, which is nice. It's time they believe in somebody. The match was okay. Again, like Apollo Crews, it feels like the last 2 years have just been for nothing. He's back to where he was, except he's got another guy with him that's going nowhere. Like, I mean, they really, it just feels like they've given up on him again.
You know, this Waller guy, they're giving him a lot. I don't know if you're following NXT.
Well, I know he took out Gargano.
Yeah, he beat the shit out of Gargano. He's like, he is the main heel on NXT. It's no longer Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker is not a heel. This guy is the top heel of the show. You know, he has problems with everybody. Bron Breakker, he's got problems with Ciampa. He's got problems with everybody, this guy. And AJ Styles, so.
You know, if they follow my guideline, I think they will. By the way, I can't believe they're not going to test for COVID anymore in WWE. That's fucking crazy.
Not at all? Or just
I sent you the link. There's no more mandatory tests. You don't have to get tested to go to work.
Wow.
Probably because they lost like their entire roster.
They probably because they were just like, yeah, we can't keep doing this.
I wonder, everyone on Square Circle Reddit was like, Roman's going to bounce, but we'll see.
Maybe I feel like he would. I feel like he might. You don't think he will?
I mean, I don't think they'd do this unless he was okay with it. They like don't give a shit about him either.
Well, this was also before there was a vaccine. But now that there is a vaccine,
But even with the vaccine, the way he kicked my butt, if he's immunocompromised, I don't know if the vaccine is going to help him. Like if he could get really affected by COVID, he might still get affected by COVID. It's kicked my ass for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I don't have cancer.
I know what you're talking about because I'm actually immune compromised. So even though I'm vaccinated, I try to keep my fucking distance.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get.
He hasn't been on the house shows the last two nights. They're probably saving for day one. But even if he only does one show a week, he's going to get it. he's gonna get this variant. I'm talking about Roman.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. You know why? Because you're also in a building full of strangers.
Yeah,
complete strangers. We're not talking about the people who your coworkers. We're talking about not just the fans, but the people who work in the building.
Yeah,
right. Everybody who's worked there, from the concession people to the fucking people, you know, who work at the security, everybody there, to just tons of people there. So,
but you know what? People that I read a report today that if day one was today or tomorrow, the entire car would have to change. But I think now the CDC has said there's only 5-day quarantine. I think they're going to have every match. I think if any match changes, it's going to be Brock Roman. But I don't think they're going to tell us until like the show starts that night.
Today's Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can see how Saturday will be already be like, yeah, because they didn't change any of the matches tonight. Like, it seemed like all the matches are still on, right?
Yeah, well, they're not going to, I don't think they tell us. Like, even if like Becky Lynch is like, I'm not doing good at all, they're not going to tell us until Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Mysterios versus the Street Profits match, that was like part of the RK Bro tournament.
Yeah, so they're going to fight RK Bro, the Street Profits. Yeah.
So Street Profits versus RK Bro at what, day one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, day one. So that's one match. And it's Roman versus Brock. That's match number two. Well, what, they got a whole bunch. They were, okay, and we'll get into the rest of it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But all right. So yeah, anyway, that was a good match. They show a video from Seth Rollins at home. Talking about Kevin Owens, all right, how they're best friends now, and this is how, and then we're gonna go into our third hour. Kevin Owens comes to the ring to cut a promo. MVP comes out, and then the Hurt Business guys come out. We're talking Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander. They're still not back together, but they're trying to get back in. So that's why they're out here. And Kevin Owens goes, "All right, I see what you guys are doing." Because this segment was taking forever. Except Kevin goes, "All right, guys, this is what's happening. These guys, they want to get back in the Hurt Business. To prove it to you, they're going to try to beat me up. Let's just go in the ring. Let's just do this." Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. So we're going to match number six, Cedric versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens hits a stunner for the victory. And afterwards, he hits a stunner on Shelton Benjamin. This is all right. It was whatever.
So, right. When MVP was acting like, was treating Cedric like an idiot on the stage, I was so annoyed because it was like, you know, the fucking Hurt Business was like the best thing of the Thunderdome era.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And ever since like Bobby Lashley won the belt, they have done nothing but just shit on it.
Yes.
And make those two guys look like fucking idiots. And I'm like, why? Like, if they were made to be credible, then Bobby Lashley has like two like really credible henchmen. Like, why would you just, why? Like, why? And they're still doing it. Like, they're still like, they just can't, they just have these two guys around to just shit on them. And it's like, why? Just such a fucking waste of
time. The Hurt Business is what got Bobby Lashley to become championship level. You know, because
the Hurt Business was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a, I was like so annoyed because I thought they got back together because they were at the Saudi Arabia show helping Bobby Lashley.
You're right. I mean, I remember there was a point where they were
Bobby Lashley was cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now MVP's back acting like they're fucking idiots. And I'm like,
oh yeah, yeah. You know what it was? It was when MVP was out. Remember when he was out, like doing surgery or something? The Hurt Business was back together for a couple of weeks or some shit like that. And I was like,
and then MVP goes, "Bobby Lashley doesn't even need me." And I'm like, why would you have him say that? Then maybe WWE should just fire you, MVP, because the only thing you're here for is to stand. If he doesn't even need you, then what is the point? What is the point? Get the fuck out.
I agree. It's very stupid. I agree. It's very,
very stupid. I don't know. The match was all right. Again, it was just, every match was just okay.
Yeah. You know what? Up till this point, there's no like bullshit finishers. That's one thing I will give him credit for. We have up to this point, we've had six matches and there's no bullshit. It's
well, because they're all finished. Everyone's fighting people that the WWE doesn't care if they lose, so they don't need to do a bullshit finish.
Well, like the Mysterio Street Profits.
Yeah, but they don't care if
Rey Mysterio. Yeah, yeah. But I get it. With the rest of it's like Cedric Alexander, Chad Gable, and so forth. Yeah, but good stuff. Then we get a video package of Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch because they still have a match. And this is what I want to get. Both these ladies are not here tonight. They're not on Raw. Liv and Becky are both not here. And they show, but they're hyping up the match at day one. So that tells me they're probably going to still have this match on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think they're planning on it, but who knows how they're going to be.
Yeah, because are they going to do this fucking WWE thing where they know this match isn't happening, but they're still going to keep promoting it until the fucking day? Yes. That's so fucked up. Dude, why do they do that? That's so fucked up.
Card subject to change. That's why
that is really fucked up. Like, they know they can't have this match, but they're still promoting it until the day of. That's really fucked up.
Well, now that the CDC said 5 days, they probably are telling the wrestlers, okay, 5 days starts today. Friday night, get on a fucking plane.
Christ.
Yeah. Even if you have COVID.
Go ahead.
Even if you still like have COVID, just come because, you know, you'll have done fine. We want to have the match. So unless like you're still having, if they're like the way I am right now, they'll make them go. They'll make them wrestle unless one of these wrestlers is not doing well at all, then that's a different thing. But we'll see.
Yeah. Fun fact: Liv Morgan is from Elmwood Park, New Jersey, which is like 15 minutes from me. So
maybe you could bang her, bro.
Now I was like, oh, I know Elmwood Park. Yeah, that's all right. We get a Damian Priest promo package, and then we go to our seventh match, Damian Priest versus Dolph Ziggler. This is the only championship match on the show tonight.
And no Bobby Roode.
Yeah, no Bobby Roode, that's right. And it's a fucking long match that ends in a stupid DQ finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is what I was expecting out of Raw. I was like, this is the Raw match. So a pointless fucking long match. Like, there was no point in this match being this long, you know? If it was going to do the stupid fucking thing.
Dude, Damian Priest looks so good when he was with the Bad Bunny. They're doing this guy no fucking favors. They're just doing nobody any favors anymore.
They have been doing this longest gimmick of he can't control his temper. Because I could have sworn they were doing this like even back when I was watching Raw.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've been doing this for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't he the one who took out Elias?
I think he was.
Yeah. Like, that's how
I know in Survivor Series, he lost his temper and beat the shit out of Nakamura.
Okay. Yeah. Is this like because he's Puerto Rican? Is this like a stereotypical thing they're doing?
I don't know. They want to turn him heel, but they're not sure if they want to do it yet. They're waiting for.
It's very weird. Yeah.
This company's very weird. Final segment.
It is Miz and Maryse renewing their vows. Eric Bischoff's the guy officiating it. He's looking super old.
Yeah, he is.
Maryse comes out and she does her fucking vows first, and then Miz does his. By the way, when Miz is walking to the fucking ring and he goes up the stairs, he fucking trips, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone starts fucking laughing, but he plays it off very well. This is why, actually, a couple of months ago, CM Punk on AEW called MJF like a fucking cheap version of The Miz.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, that's an insult and shit. If you felt like that, you should have seen tonight, because Miz is a fucking entertainer. He is fucking entertaining. So he's giving his vows and he goes, and remember, he's douchey. He lives up his douchiness. He goes, Maryse, when she gives her vows, is very heartfelt and she's super like, oh, like, you're the love of my life. I would 100% want you to be my husband again. And Miz goes, I don't know, guys, should I do it? He's a douche. He has daughters. I don't know, guys. Should I renew my vows with her? He's like, I don't care about you guys. You guys live in Detroit. And then he goes, Marie, when I first met you, you couldn't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, so I'm going to do my vows in French, and he starts doing it in French. It's so shitty. People are fucking annoyed. I'm laughing because it's really funny. And then Maurice is like, he's mispronouncing words, trying to help him. And she's like, Ms. Mike's like, Mike, that's not even French. That's Spanish. Just do it in English. Just do it in English. And then he goes, all right, I'll do it in English. This shit was funny to me. It was really funny. They do the fucking vows. And then Edge, stupid ass Edge, comes out. Remember, Miv attacked Edge, but Edge still has plenty of time to go around going, come on, fans. Come on. He goes to the ring. He goes, all right, still got a match with you on day one. And then he goes, oh, the Brood music. And then the fucking Brood fucking brown blood comes and pours all over them. It was really dumb. Stupid. The payoff for this was dumb. It was pointless.
I thought Gangrel was going to attack the Miz. And then it's just, every time this is the second time they've done this. And it's like, why can't you just have Gangrel come out? Like, he had Eric Bischoff come in. We just also have Gangrel. Like, do they really think people don't care about Gangrel? I just want to ask them. They know people care about Gangrel, right? Yeah.
I think they're rewriting history to make it seem like this was always Edge's thing, not Gangrel. Like the bath blood.
But just have, if Gangrel is like, Edge is like when Gangrel shows up, everyone gets excited because Edge is going to be crazier. Like, I don't know, just have him be like his Paul Bearer or something. Like, just fucking give this guy a payday. Like, is it really going to hurt you to have Gangrel walk out like and do this?
Yeah, I know. They don't like Gangrel for some reason. It's weird.
But they use everything about Gangrel, but they don't have Gangrel. And it's like, people like this fucking guy. Like, and again, it's like, they just, I don't know. It's like, shouldn't you like, that's the other thing. Like, Vince, this is what I say to Vince. Vince, people like Gangrel because of what you did with him. Aren't you happy that this guy you put no effort in is still over 20 years later because of your genius, you fucking homo? Like, why can't anyone just say, like, oh, you're right. Let's get him on the show. Like, that's what I would say to them, you know, to get Gangrel back on. Like,
they can't. The blood was not red. It was brown.
Well, like, I don't think they can. They don't want to do red blood anymore. I mean,
they call it brood. Gangrel turn it down because of that?
No, I think Gangrel would come out and like dance if they asked. I mean, what do you think Gangrel? No, it's got to be exactly. I don't want to be on Raw.
If it's not red, it's not blood. I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing it. How about you to pay me? You're gonna pay me $40,000? Shove it up your ass. I'm just sitting this.
Gangrel turned it down because it's not red blood. I don't know.
Gangrel would walk out and fucking do the Rikishi dance if they asked him to show up. Like, are you kidding me? What do you think Gangrel's doing?
He's doing a Dark Side of the Ring documentary.
Is he? Oh, yeah, he did the Luna one. Maybe that's why
he did the Luna one. Yeah, he did the Luna one.
Dude, somebody said something like, when the entire roster goes down, WWE can lean on Miz. Could AEW do that with MJF? And I was like, that's a great, someone tweeted that. I'm like, that's a great point. Like, the problem with MJF is that, like, the Miz doesn't go for, like, the lower, the MJF always kind of, like, has to go for, like, some, like, lower common denominator or go, like, for something shocking.
He goes for the lowest hanging fruit a lot.
Yes, where the Miz can, like, dance around that, not go there, and still have the same reaction that MJF gets. And I think MJF can learn that. He can learn. I don't think Tony Khan is interested in teaching him. I do think he's a guy who would benefit from the WWE corporate machine. I think he would flourish in that. Become.
I think you're right. MJF is someone who, if he was in the WWE, could learn really well about hey, you don't have to say these things. You can say this way, you know, and get the same amount of effect out of it. Yeah.
Like, when Edge walked out, it was very easy for Miz to be like, last night I fucked Beth Phoenix in the ass. And then, like, the crowd pops. Like, you know, but, like...
Like, hey, remember when you fucked Matt Hardy's girlfriend? Like, just...
Yeah, like, that's what MJF would do. And it's like, all right. And then I'm sure the you know, Twitter would eat that up, but like, I don't know, like there's a way to dance around that. And
yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been loving this, these MJF CM Punk back and forth, but I do know, I do understand what you're saying. Like, he sometimes less is more, but I feel like
he'll learn.
Yeah, he's
probably young. Khan will teach him. Someone will teach him.
Someone will. Hopefully, someone should, because you got Arn Anderson back there. You got fucking Dean Malenko back there. You.
I don't think that Arn Anderson doesn't do any coaching.
So what the fuck does he do?
Sandwiches? He literally walks out with Cody and then walks to the back.
That's all he does?
All he does. Yeah, I've listened to his podcast. All he does.
Wait, then who the fuck coaches back there or produces? Just
Jerry Lynn, Dean Malenko. I don't know who else. I don't know.
Doesn't Sanjay Dutt work there now too?
Sanjay Dutt also, yes.
Yeah, Sanjay Dutt works there.
As a producer. Yeah, Arn doesn't do any producing.
I'm guessing they just go like put together matches, really, not go over promos or stuff like that. Because I would say none of those guys are promo guys that we just named.
I don't think you have a promo guy. That's why sometimes that's where the promos Jake roll Roberts? Over. What?
Jake Roberts?
Has he even been on the show?
No, neither has Lance Archer.
And neither has Brian Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my thing about AEW real quick. I think AEW is the reverse. You know how small guys can't get over in WWE?
Yeah.
I think big guys can't get over in AEW.
I think that's true too. I think that's true because all the big guys, Nick Camarado, fucking Powerhouse Hobbs, Brian Cage, even
don't know how to book
fucking them. 10 from the Dark Order. He's like the biggest one in the Dark Order. He's like the least, used one. They don't like big guys. They don't like using big guys. Yeah, Lance Archer, nobody.
That's why I kind of think they'll never hire Braun Strowman, because they don't know how to book him.
Yeah, the only big guy who like is used well is Moxley, and Moxley isn't even that
Moxley,
big.
But not Moxley's so not small. Like a big. Yeah, like you think of, when you think of the Murder Hawk or you think of Brian Cage, they're big guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, so let's talk about 2021 overall in wrestling. What did you think of this year in wrestling? I thought it was much like everything else on this planet. It was a weird fucking year for us in wrestling.
There were some goods and there was some bads. It was I'm trying to think. I don't think it was as weird as last year.
Nothing was as weird as last year.
But it wasn't as weird as last year, but it was in like a lukewarm position, because it was everyone trying to pretend that their past, we're past something, but we're not.
Yeah.
But we're pretending we're back to normal, but we're not. At least in the past, the previous year, 2020, they acknowledged that what was happening.
Yeah.
Like we're in this fucking thing, this pandemic and whatever. But this year it was more like we're gonna act like it's over, but it's clearly not, you know. And as far as just wrestling goes, it was all right. Some good moments. Yes,
yeah, I think WWE had a creative wise. WWE had a terrible year.
WWE had a terrible year, creative wise. Yes,
creative wise. There were no big matches. I think firing guys like Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt and Aleister Black, when they're in the middle of storylines, has killed a lot of interest in storylines. Because, I mean, for all we know, Miz could get fired before Saturday, before day one. They've set up a weird precedent. I think it's been a great year for AEW, but I also think they kind of fumbled the ball. I think that CM Punk thing was a pivotal moment for them, but they didn't capitalize on it. I think a major mistake was having CM Punk wrestle Bobby Fish and Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal. And I think now, like, you've kind of lost the specialness of him, you know? Mm-hmm. Before he even got any, like, he only really has had, like, two big dream matches. And you've already kind of lost the shine off the guy. I think that was a colossal mistake.
Hopefully they get it back with him versus MJF.
I'm hoping. Wednesday was a good start.
What happened on Wednesday?
That six-man. I thought the six-man was very good.
Oh, did you see how fucking MJF almost died?
Yeah.
Paralyzed in that fucking thing.
But I think they need. I think once the MJF thing is over, they need to get Punk in the title picture. I think just to keep him like kind of like special and unique. If he like,
they did allude to that a couple of weeks ago. He gave a promo where he goes like,
"He needs to get in now." Yeah, if they after MJF, if he's like just having nothing matches with like fucking, I don't know, if he's fucking wrestling Luther or something, I'll just be like, guys, like you can't. I even think like having Daniel Bryan just wrestle nothing matches was kind of fucking stupid too. But it is what it is. I mean, Daniel Bryan, but they're putting him in a. But I don't know. It's just like. Yeah, it's just not a big deal to me that he's wrestling on TV anymore. And when the Powerhouse Hobbs match happened, I was so fucking excited to be there, you know, because I was there. And then by the second or third match, it was like, oh, this guy is just going to fucking come out and wrestle like tomato cans. All right. What?
Tomato cans? I don't get it.
That's a term in MMA for like easy fights.
Tomato
he's can? Gonna wrestle. He's gonna fight a tomato can. Yeah,
that's an MMA thing.
That's an MMA term for like a jobber. You're a tomato can.
That's so stupid. Why would they add MMA?
I think that's like an old boxing term. Like, he's just hitting tomato cans. Like, he's hitting because a tomato can offers no resistance. I don't know. I'm sure, like in the 30s, they you'd have to punch a tomato can. Here is a tomato can. Punch it. Yeah.
You know, what do you call it? Who do you think's gonna win that one? By the way, MJF versus CM Punk.
I would have MJF win it, but I also would have had a Kingston win. That was the other thing. I think they moved away from Kingston way too fast with Punk. I think there was a lot of heat there, and I think they should have kept.
Yeah, that I don't going. Think those guys want to wrestle each other.
Well, then they shouldn't even. Then don't do it in the first place.
Yeah, I you think
should have went right to MJF. Then.
From what I read, they were like, "Yeah, we still don't like each other." It was just like, well, then, Eddie Kingston was like, "Yeah, I don't like him."
Well, like, then they shouldn't have went there if they weren't gonna. you should have got, but AEW has had the best year. I'll tell you what, everyone says, oh, 2020 is a great year for wrestling. It was a very good year for WWE, money wise, not creatively. It was a very good year for AEW, creatively and money wise. I'll tell you what, was not good for Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. Those two companies have been completely nullified. Impact Wrestling should be shitting bricks. I think this was the worst year they ever had. I think it was the worst year they ever had.
I think that's how do you argue against that?
I think the AEW partnership permanently turned them into a fucking loser company. They constantly push people who had the stench of loserness when it comes with Tommy Dreamer or Eddie Edwards, even Moose. I mean, they're pushing Moose now, but he lost. He looked like an idiot with Kenny Omega. They made Kenny Omega make the entire company look like idiots. And then he lost to Christian on AEW, and Impact celebrated. Fucking guy left the company 13 years ago.
He's their guy. Yeah.
He's their guy, yeah. Then he loses to Josh Alexander, who then gets the shit kicked out of him by Moose. I mean, nothing they did. They made their entire company look pathetic and stupid, and they're in a horrible position. But, you know, the fucking Impact wrestlers on social media act like they're like on the Sopranos or some shit, these fucking idiots. And then Ring of Honor is done. I mean, it's just done. I don't think it's ever going to recover from.
You don't think they're going to come back in April?
They might. I don't think it's going to be like when AWA tried to come back and nobody gave a shit. Both companies are over. It's fucking over. Yeah. The fact that Ring of Honor titles in the Impact pay-per-view just is like, oh, you both are just fucking failure organizations.
Yeah. It is very weird. Ring of Honor belts are now being defended like everywhere. Like NWA.
It's got the NWA, another horrible year. Every 2019, all these companies looked like it. I was like, no, it's not just AEW. NWA looked great. TNA looked great. Ring of Honor. And then 2020, I think Impact still kind of had an okay year. And then when they did the crossover, it was like, oh my God, like this is it. Everything. And that crossover ruined everything for everyone but AEW. Yeah. That crossover completely ruined them. And NWA's been ruined. It was ruined. It would never recover from the pandemic.
NWA never recovered from Carnyland.
Yeah. But that was the pandemic. That was because of the pandemic.
Yeah. They never recovered from Carnyland, bro.
Dude, like, yeah. Like, everyone has been destroyed except for AEW and WWE. And so I don't think it was that great of a year for wrestling, but it was a very good year for AEW and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. So good for them.
Do you know who had a really successful year during the pandemic? Was Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah. Surprisingly, they went from like almost being like done as a company right before the pandemic, that they were leaning on New Japan. New Japan was like, if you're not going to sell to us, fuck you guys. They found a different buyer, and these guys were like maybe the third most important or possibly even fourth most important wrestling company in Japan to now becoming like probably the second most important wrestling company in Japan, to the point where New Japan is doing a fucking a crossover show with them, and it's already sold out. Just like, yeah.
New Japan in a bad year.
What?
New Japan had a bad year.
Yeah, they had a bad year because they, you know, there was a lot of their top guys got injured, right? And they had some shitty booking, and you could say it's not their fault, but hey, you know what? It's still at the end of the day, they had a bad year. You know, they had a bad year. So, yeah,
that's also. I'll tell you, had a bad year, Jay White.
Jay White had a bad year. Did nothing.
That main event match was so good at Wrestle Kingdom, and he did nothing. When he showed up at Impact, and it's so funny how he showed up at Impact, not AEW. That was crazy to me that AEW didn't do anything.
I think what happened was during that time, they were still kind of not clicking, those two companies, right? And then all of a sudden, now they have a working relationship. New Japan and AEW teams have a working relationship, but somehow they only want the Japanese wrestlers. Like, they don't want no fucking Will Ospreay. They don't want no Jay White.
Ospreay, but I'm surprised Jay White. I really thought this would be Jay White's year. That was such a good main event with Kota Kakuto.
Wait, I think I might know why some people don't like Jay White.
Oh, why? Did he hit a woman or something too?
Jim Ross doesn't like Jay White.
Oh, why? By God.
There was this time where
they did a move by him, yes.
Yeah, and they knocked
him down. But Jim Ross doesn't really have a lot to say, though.
I can see him talking shit about Jay White.
Yeah, but I think that Tony, he doesn't have a lot to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised. They don't bring a lot of gaijin over from New Japan into fucking AEW. It's very weird. Because, like, Jay White's been here for a while in the U.S. So was El Fantasmo. So was Hikaleo. Actually, Hikaleo did show up on. Didn't Hikaleo show up on AEW a couple weeks? The fucking really tall Hakusa.
Yeah, that was like way back in the day. That was in the
summer. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know.
Anyway, weird year, but it's over, and it's gonna be even weirder next year. I got news for you. The pandemic rages on.
Do you think? Like right now, everyone, it's still early, but everyone's saying how Omicron, it's only gives you like symptoms of a cold. Do you think that's going to stay or do you think?
No, I think it's going to get worse.
When you say worse, like what? Like people are going to start dying left and right?
Yeah, I think there's going to be another variant that's going to fucking destroy us. Yeah.
Oh. That's possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what though? If it doesn't get that bad, we'll be here with the podcast. And when the Thunderdome returns, so will we.
I miss the Thunderdome, I'll be honest.
I do miss the Thunderdome.
Yeah. You know why? Because every once in a while, they would be like a weird fucking... They would be like one of those fans like trying to like sneak something into it. Like they showed like a fucking beheading and shit. And it was like an extra thing that you were like, did you see what happened on Raw? Some guy had a fucking...
Remember when Chris Benoit came back? That was nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It was like, it was more exciting.
I think someone put a picture of Hitler. It was really funny.
Yeah. I remember the Chris Benoit. This is funny. It's really funny, dude.
Oh, that was good times. Yeah. It'll be back. It's going to be back sooner than later with everything, the way this country's going. All right, guys. We will be probably this weekend doing day one And then who knows when we'll be back, but we'll see you this weekend for day one, probably.
Yep. Good night.
Thanks, bro.